Welcome to episode 3 of the Eighth Note. I am Gitti Rappaport, and I'm here with my brother, Rabbi Reuven Wolf from Ayin Yisrael. And we are getting into the third Sicha Dvar Malchus, Parshas Emor. And in this, we're going to jump right into it, I think. In this Sicha, there's just like almost a direct continuation from last week's Sicha. The Rebbe spoke about the bringing the Aleph into Gullus, turning it into Geula, how the letters are in the same order, that it's mamish, the same structure. It's not going to be a totally new world. It's the same structure. It's just once you bring the Aleph into it, you reveal the Geula in the Gullus. And I think it's very interesting this week when the Rebbe talks about specifically the Aleph and the three components going deeper and deeper and deeper that take us deeper and deeper and deeper to explain how we can really experience the Geula in the Gullus. So if you could just expound on that, I think it's absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, I will begin expounding by making a bracha, which is revealing the Aleph in the world.
That's right.
Right?
Amen.
All right. Yes, the incredible insight about the appreciation that everything is here in the here and in the now. And everything that is meant to be, we have already. It's just a journey into deep self-discovery, a true self, a deep self, an emesis self. Penetrating or going past the superficial self and discovering the higher MS of our own existence and of everything around us in this world, and recognizing that our world illuminated is Mashiach's world. Our world illuminated. It's our body, it's our Gashmiistic world, it's our physical possessions, it's our family, it's our friend, it's our acquaintances, it's our neighborhood, it's everything that we have. Like the Rebbe picks up on it in this week's Sicha, where he says that when the Yidden went out of Mitzrayim, it's not like we used to always thinking at Yetzias Mitzrayim is they ran away from Mitzrayim and said goodbye to Mitzrayim, and Mitzrayim stayed back, way behind them. And Hashem says to them, you'll never go back to Egypt. Don't look back. It's like the wife of Lot, you know, don't look back. Don't look back at that cursed place. And the Rebbe reveals something so incredible over here that no, Mitzrayim came along with them. And it really, in a very big way, came along with them because they built a Mishkan. And what was the Mishkan made out of? Only of Mitzrayim.
The riches was nothing of Mitzrayim.
There was nothing in the Mishkan that is not Mitzrayim. It's fantastic. It's amazing. And you know what's so amazing is that idea that we can lift up the Gullus itself. In other places in Chassidus, it says that by Mitzrayim, because the world wasn't ready yet, was before Matan Torah, it was before the world had a Zichuch, before we refined it. So for there was no other way but to break it. But in our world, in the up and coming Geula, or as I call it rather, the current Geula that we're already in. That's funny. Today I watched someone just share the old video that I remember from years ago, where the reporter asked the Rebbe, "What's the Rebbe's message to the world?" This is like right in 91, 92 maybe. What's the Rebbe's message to the world from the New York Times or something? And the Rebbe says, "Tell everybody to increase and prepare themselves through keeping Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach." So then he says to the Rebbe, "Do you believe, or what do you say about, are we like coming to the Messiah's times?" And there goes, "What?" And he says, the Rebbe says, "Long ago, we're long inside it already in Mashiach's times." Mm-hmm. So this is already a current Indian. It's not, we're going to realize how much we're already in that Geula Di state. It's just how much, it's just about our own reframing It's like what we call reframing, reframing of everything. You know, one of the important things the Rebbe said is Geula is going to happen when every single thing in the world will become reframed, when every single thing will go out of its gullus. So the hardship we have now is because even if I get into a Geula Digga mindset, my neighbor who's fighting with me is not necessarily coming. It's like the person says, you know, when the fox wanted the bird to come out of the tree because he wanted lunch, and he said, "Didn't you hear that Mashiach is here?" Right? And the dog says, "Yeah." Or it wasn't that, it was the dog, and he said, "The dogs don't believe in Mashiach." Mashiach. Right?
But it's interesting. It's very interesting, yeah, though, because the Rebbe says that they asked the Mitzrayim for their gold and their silver, right? When they left, they took it with them. And that's what you said, from the, seems like the most Tumah thing in the world, right? Memtesh Shari Tumah.
Imagine, this was the gold that built all the depraved temples where they sacrificed people. And this was the gold that was there. And all of this became literally the Mishkan.
Right, which is the house of Hashem. The
where
of
else
Hashem.
Did they get gold from? They didn't have any other gold. They didn't have jewelry in Mitzrayim. Where did they get it from? They got everything from Mitzrayim. So I'm saying the Kal V'chomer, because if there, where we say in a sense it was all about needed to be broken, and yet even there the entire Geula is made up of Mitzrayim.
But even more than that, I mean, I'm almost sure this is what I saw, that the
Yes, you did. I want to hear that.
So they asked, and then the Mitzrayim said, "Oh, but I also have this, and I also have that, and you forgot about this." So there was a shift in the Mitzri's eyes. The Mitzri themselves realized, this is the purpose of my gold, and this is the purpose of my silver, that it needs to go with the Yidden, that it needs to be redeemed, which is crazy. I never heard of that before. Like I never knew that the Gaulus itself actually, because there's such a revelation, the Gaulus itself actually submits itself to the Geula. Like it's not even submits itself, more than that, it kind of falls away. It negates, it becomes, you realize the Geula within it. It becomes null and void. Like we said, the light and the darkness, it completely negates the darkness by just being the light. And it was like, here, take it, because there's no purpose for it here. The purpose is with you.
The tormentors, the Mitzrim, who were, imagine the Gestapo. Imagine that. That's the kind of idea. It's the Gestapo, it's the SS. It's the wickedness that they had labor camps. That's where it first originated. Concentration camps was in Mitzrayim. And the Rebbe says, it, as you're pointing out, it would not suffice if after Hashem beat them to a pulp, they didn't go and help themselves to their stuff. That would not suffice, because it wouldn't be a true geula. The Rebbe says, yes, they had to be beaten to a pulp, but right before they were completely knocked out, Hashem gave them a chance to turn around, and that they should recognize it,
yes,
and they themselves, the Yadu Mitzrayim, he says two levels. The smart ones amongst them realized what's going on and were like active participants consciously, and those that did not have such a wisdom, at least their mazel saw, so they were behaving, even though they couldn't understand why. But subconsciously, they were driven to do something they don't understand. And we talk about subconscious forces that you're seeing today in the world, like with craziness about the Jewish people and so on. You see the entire world is in a state of craze. Sometimes it's scary because it sees so much anti-Jewishness. But there is no question, number one, we're seeing like a guy like Milei, for example, which is a stunning, you know, a leader of an entire country. Do you know that they had this thing? I saw it in Crown Heights when I was in Crown Heights last. I wonder if it was like a paper or maybe it was just on my phone and I happened to see it while I was in Crown Heights. I remember talking to somebody about this a few weeks ago when I was there, about a Yud Aleph Nisan time. And that one of the hottest, seventh to the top selling book in all of Argentina, seventh top-selling book, is the Rebbe's letters advice Someone made a book now about the Rebbe's. He like really worked. I forgot the guy's name. Who is it? I think he has the same name of the fellow who does the Living Torah. Who's in charge of the archives of Gem?
Gem, I don't know.
It's the same last name.
Right.
I forgot the person's name. Make sure they don't listen to this, that we forgot their name. But the person who gave out this, and it's amazing, and he's being interviewed by, like, so you can see how suddenly an entire country can flip over.
Right.
An entire country can flip over. And that's what we're talking about here, that the Golus itself has to flip, and the exile itself has to, like, become a support system. And has to lean in and join in Geula. And it's our Aveda to look and see where it's happening. There's so many areas where it's happening. There's so much emphasis that's put on the last few black dots. They once made the experiment. If you have like a beautiful thing and there's one black dot, everybody looks at the black dot.
Black dot.
So sadly, we're very drawn to the one story, the anti-Semitic attack, and the this and the that, and the few big mouths who draw attention. But we should really pay attention to how much the world is flipping over to be part of Geula and be part of redemption.
But even more than that, mm-hmm. talking about the black dots.
Yeah.
I think that the Golus itself, right, is because it talks about how they had to, Avram had to go into Golus, and the Yidden had to go into Golus.
Yes.
They wouldn't have gotten the Rechush unless they went into Golus. So the black dots themselves, like we could even focus on, I don't think we should necessarily focus on the black dots, but the black dots are there. They're a reality. And to know that they themselves, in their essence, are part of this process, and we need them in order to get deeper. And I think even
the
like
perfect the perfect example for that is in a painting sometimes, or in a, there are certain shadows that are created that are dark, and if you see them in the context of the entire painting, then you see they're the painting. But when you don't see and you're only seeing a dark blotch, it looks like a plain blotch of paint. That seems to be just ugly. But in the context of the entire art, it suddenly is like, wow, it didn't change color. It's the same black dot. But in the context of how it's sitting and where it's sitting, that's the reframing that the Rebbe says, the reframing that we need to do, which is Geula, is that we come back in the Sicha. He says, Oit Hashem ki anafta. Yes. We thank for the anafta. And anafta means that you've been tough on me. You've been rough on me. You put me through the hellish nightmare. And yet that hellish nightmare, that's part of this redemption. Yeah, you were saying something.
It's so interesting because when the Sicha ends off with that, it really struck me. My Israel, my husband, was recently at a Shabbaton, and he said he was sitting with a classmate of his who has a very debilitating illness. And they were sitting and they were talking, and he said one thing that I noticed about him was that he still has a very positive aura about him. And he doesn't have this feeling of, oh, I'm a victim to my illness, or I'm living in a place of constraint. Like he had like a very open, positive, like light-filled aura about him. And someone came over and they were talking. And then when he left, he said, you know, I wanna wish you a complete refuah shleima, that you should be able to overcome this illness. And it's like a chronic illness. And he said, you know, I thank you for the bracha, but, and I'm just paraphrasing here because I heard it secondhand, but I can't really accept it because I feel like my experiences with this illness has opened me up to a much deeper place, and in a way I wouldn't give it up. I wouldn't give up where I've gone because of it, what I've become because of it. So like I'm accepting the bracha, but I want you to know that the illness itself, where what it has brought out in me is There's nothing else that could have brought me to this place.
So the Gamzul Letova was so powerful.
Yeah.
That it became his identity. And he experiences so much so that he's afraid to let go of even
yes.
even the limitations of it.
He said it in a way of like, not out of like pretense or I'm on such a level that I like, in a very natural, organic, like really coming from a place of acceptance that this is really what my life was meant to be. And this is how I'm supposed to experience this life. And there's, like you said, the Gamzul Letova, there's positiveness in this, which is such a shift. It's like flipping everything that we think is bad is good and good is bad. It's a real shift. It's incredible. I was so moved by that story. It was so powerful to me.
Yeah. Really, truly amazing.
And which we leads see us... people nowadays experiencing it, you know, people really taking their journeys and their hardships and the struggles and using that to propel them forward and using that to reach deeper places. And like we spoke in the past about like people doing their, you know, healing journeys and then going on and helping other people through their struggles. And it's so interesting because you see like this now online, there's all these, not even within the frum space or, you know, the secular space, a lot of like self-help people and a lot of like, you know, podcasters or influencers, you know, they pop up on my feed and I see them and I think to myself, like a lot of them are talking from a place of I was there and this is how I was able to come to a place of redemption, right? We're all looking for redemption, not just Yidden. Everyone in the world is looking for redemption, right? We all have our struggles and we're looking for redemption. And these are the tools that I used and I'm teaching it to you. And now this is why they're famous and this is why they're making money. And this is, they have whole careers out of it, which is, you know, if you would have told them 10, 20 years ago, your struggles with, you know, alcoholism or your struggles with mental health or whatever is what's going to support you. It's crazy. It's really, really crazy. It's just an interesting, I thought that was like an interesting way of seeing that the whole world is recognizing that all of the galus, everyone's personal galus is really, the geulas in the galus, really, really.
So the geula, as the Rebbe puts it, the geula illuminates the galus, which is what you're watching, and that the galus produces the geula. These are the two points the Rebbe says. It works in hand in hand. The galus produces the geula, and the geula redeems the galus. So they overlap. They're like a challah.
It's like cyclical.
And they're braided together. And the thing is that when it's time to go from galus to geula, then because the geula was created, the entire geula was created by the galus, right? Since the geula was created by the galus, then the process of going into geula, that's the reason why the process of going into the geula is not to close your eyes to your past and run into a magical new world. Because if the geula would be something else not created by the galus, then there would be room for something like that.
Right.
But it must bring with it everything of your past. Every element of your past is it. You know, I saw that your husband was at the as a reunion.
Right.
So one of the things is that because I was thinking the other day, as I was talking to I teach for the girls last week, it just came out of my mouth that, you know, because we were talking about not leaving your suitcase over. Now, I'm sorry, not taking a suitcase and running with your suitcase and taking only your most important items. But geula means your entire existence with everything that makes up your time and space existence is uplifted into geula. So the idea was there, don't just, because if you're just taking your most important items, old photo albums, which today it's not a thing because everybody's used to having it in digital, but old photo albums, who would take? But from the Geula, there isn't a classmate in your life, even, you know, when you were 3 years old or 4 years old in the plague, that is not, it's etched somewhere in your memory, and it's and that experience needs to be revisited and all those people reconnected to. It's almost like a reunion with everything that has ever happened. Okay. Imagine we can go back to every moment that ever happened in our lives, all the people we've ever known, all the experiences we've ever had, and redeem them. And the reporting of the redeeming them is visit them with the alufa shalaylam, visit them with the perspective of the aleph being there, and how this was an integral nakuda in my life, how important it was in our life, even even those black dots.
Right. So bringing the galus with us, but then using the geula light to re-examine it and relive it with that, you know, redemption mentality.
Yeah. So we're going to keep on saying when Mashiach comes, let's rewind again over there.
Right.
I want to do that one, but let's rewind again. It's really cool. But the main point in this sicha is that Rebbe says, that's wonderful and that's fantastic, but isn't there news? Isn't there going to be like, is it only a therapeutic experience on the exile? And the Rebbe says, no, the Geula is like so rich and so many much greater things are going to download in the time of redemption. It's going to be a new Shamayim and a new Aretz, a new heaven, a new earth, a new Torah, meaning the same old Torah, but it's going to be unrecognizable from what Mashiach will teach Torah. So why are we still calling that part of the Geula Geula plus an Aleph? That's the fundamental question. It's fantastic that the Geula doesn't let's put it this way. Eretz Yisrael was also an Eretz Zavas Chalav Udvash. So it wasn't like when they're going out of Mitzrayim, all they had now at the Geula was, okay, we took Mitzrayim and we built a Mishkan. We were also going to a new land with new experiences, with new beautiful things. And in this case, the world is going into time of unbelievable greatness. So why, but yet we don't have another word for that. It's all called Geula. The answer the Rebbe gives is the three Alephs. And the three Alephs are the most elementary level of discovering the Aleph in Geula is to discover the Alufa Shalaylam. The Alufa Shalaylam is the divine intent in everything that is the godly particle, if you might say, in every aspect of life. And that includes all the therapy that we spoke about before.
Right.
Because that's in the Welt. It's getting a divine perspective on the world. Then the Rebbe says, but there is Aleph also means I will teach you. Alefcha. So that's a download of wisdom that's above the story of creation, the story of time and space, the story of all of our collective memories and encounters and everything. There is news that we bring into the world. Torah is above the world that comes into the world. And that, the Rebbe says, influences. We do that during the time of Galus. We study Torah,
right.
and that will bring us experiences in the days of Mashiach that are beyond time and space than the world as we know it. That element has never been revealed yet. It will only be revealed in the future, and especially the third dimension of Aleph, which Aleph is the letters of Pele, which is Nifla'is, wonders, which are like just above, all the way up to the Giloy, as the Rebbe says, of Atzmos himself. But all of this, that's just showing you that the Aleph is deeper, but it still doesn't explain why are those Alephs put into the Geula. No? Why? You're telling me that in the Aleph, there is a deeper Aleph, and there's a deeper Aleph, you know, but why does it have to do with Geula? So just the Nakuda quickly, is that is because the entire interest and investment of the Eibishter in all these levels, from everything, his entire, what sparks it all, is the here and the now, the time and the space experience right now. That's what the Eberster cherishes while it's dark. The struggle that we have to find the Eberster, to find God, in this confusion, in this darkness, which means the Tachtain, this is why it's called Tachtain. Tachtain means it's low and far of Hashem, from Hashem. That's his pleasure. And because of that pleasure, that's the reason why he downloads everything. So there is one thing to say, there is that constricted space, Golos. It too has something beautiful inside of it. And uncovering that the meaning of everything behind it is wow and will make everything fantastic. But that's only the lower level of the Aleph. In it now, as a bonus to that, will come Ein Sof Aliyas, without an end, elevations and elevations and deeper and explorations and wowing forever and ever. But the trigger of it all is not the avod that we're going to do after Mashiach will come, that we will download then. It's all being affected through the avoda that we did in Golos, because Nesava Kadosh Baruch Hu is like Dira B'Tachtayin. So the Atzmus and the Dira is connected to the Tachtayin, which is the now and our work that we're doing now.
So,
and therefore the Rebbe says,
So the Torah that we're learning now, that is, we don't have access to the Torah that's beyond our understanding, right? We can only learn as much as we can understand within time and space, right? I mean, we're learning more, which is also so interesting, because people say, how could you say there's a new Torah, right? It's still the same Torah. It's just completely new to us because you're experiencing it with a new perspective, a completely new perspective. When you go through your own, and we see that in our own lives, when you go through an experience, when you, any like major life experience, when you go through it and you actually experience it, you come out of the other end with a completely different perspective, right? I think for women, you know, I'm talking to you, I don't know if you'll understand it, but I think for women, a lot of times that shift happens like when you have childbirth. You know, you cannot imagine what it's like to have a child. You know, you can't imagine it. It's like, and then you go through this birthing process and you come out, you're almost like a different person. It's like you're just, and your perspective on everything, on every aspect of your life changes as soon as you become a mother. Every aspect of your life, your home, your relationships, your marriage, everything changes. So it's you're still you. You didn't become, I became a mother. I'm still me. I'm still who I am. I'm still the same exact person. But now it's like I got this title and I'm a new person, even though I'm still me. And I think that the Torah that we're learning now, and that's the Avodah, is what we understand. We can learn Pnimius HaTorah, and we could uncover deeper things, but we're going to be able to understand these ideas that are just so beyond our scope, but we had to do that now. We had to do the work now. You know, that same, all of that, who I am, has to actually take the time and use my capacities. And you, even though I don't necessarily understand everything, I understand that I'm going to be this new being. I'm going to learn this new Torah. But I had to have all of this in order to get to that. I don't know if I made sense.
Yes. But. So it's interesting because the Rebbe in the two sichas last week, they're really twins, these two sichas.
Right.
It's really Tazriyam, it's all three were really the same. Meaning it's all developing the same theme of the relationship of Goyla and Geula intertwined and locked in together. Tazriyam, Metzaira, everything lines up as one long thing, but it goes deeper and deeper. So in last week's Sicha, the very strong emphasis was that our avoda needs to be to look at your life and find the godliness of your life. It was a very, one of the main hayrois on last week's sicha was istakel b'shloisha dvarim. Look at three things. Don't forget the world. And pay a lot of attention to the world because everything is in the world. So, in other words, the emphasis was very much on the first level of the Aleph. Discover the meaning of your life and everything in your life. And recognize that everything that's in your life is godly, and now it doesn't feel that way, but start understanding and uncover that godliness, and that's going to be your Mashiach reality. In this sicha, the Rebbe says, hold it. True. But you also have to learn a lot of Torah now, and you should also learn a lot of Chassidus now.
Right.
Because included in the Goyla Geula connection is that there's higher levels of the Aleph as well to be explored. They need, because they too grow out of Goyla, you need to do them during the time of Golos, although, as you mentioned, it's not accessible to us. Even the lower level of Torah, which is the understanding of Torah that we have today, forget about the Torah of Mashiach, we understand it in such a magushim dig away, in such a coarse way.
Right.
Let alone the Torah that Mashiach is teaching, which is Peletz, totally beyond Seichel. Mashiach is going to show it to us in a matter of vision, as it says in many other memorim. He's going to display it. You're going to see it. So, but yet, all of that needs to be accessed now. How? So for that, a Yid can learn Torah, and a Yid can also learn Chassidus. So you're learning the Nefla'is Shebet Torah as well. So the Rebbe in this sikh is kind of balancing it. Last time he said, you know, it's mainly kol masecha yeh l'shem shamayim. It's mainly b'chol derechecha de'eyu. Find godliness in the world. And here the Rebbe is reminding us that finding godliness in the world is super cool and super great, but the real incredible godly illuminations are coming from inyanim that are above the world and beyond the world. But the only reason we're ever going to access those is because we're discovering them during the time of Golos. It's a very interesting idea. We would never be given access to the second Aleph and to the third Aleph if we're not in the constraints of Goyla.
Mm-hmm.
So
the question is,
yeah,
why do we need, if we don't have access to that, right? If we are only we're only getting a glimmer of it, we're only understanding it within the constraints of time and space, and it's way beyond that. In a way, shouldn't we just focus on what we can do and what we can understand? And then when Hashem's ready to give it to us, he'll just give it to us. And because you said it's going to be like a revelation, it's not even going to be like, it's going to be like, I don't know the words you used before, like a picture. What did you say? Like, it's just going to be like, you're going to open your eyes and you're going to see it. So why? I mean, I personally love learning Chassidus, so it's not hard for me because I think it's beautiful and I love, you know, tickling my brain and, you know, not always understanding it, but trying to understand it. But why? What is the purpose of, in a way, toiling in this? And why is it so important that we study this if we're not really fully understanding it? Like, let's focus on what we could do. Let's do it. Let's focus on this world and being like, in a way, you would think like this studying.
In other words,
discussions. Like, what is the purpose of that? Like, what is it accomplishing?
It's almost like the question: Should a shliach or chabad or chabad shluchim, a shliach and a shlucha that is oisik so much in their community and in getting the world ready in terms of the world, do they also have to set times to learn Torah when the ikar should be ma'aseh b'poel? It's like, right. Touches on the same. On the same thing, especially when we're talking about as you're asking, it's so the answer. it can never be given to a gift. The Eibishter is attracted to us. And he's attracted to us when we are small and cute.
Okay.
And when are we? Because opposite attracts, you know? He's big and infinite and beyond, and we're silly, small, little, whatever. And we're smaller and cuter in exile because we're really performing in the darkness, and he gets a kick out of it beyond everything. And it's precisely then that he gives us access to download him.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're going to start downloading him when we're not cute, I mean, we're going to be cute when Mashiach comes,
right, but
in a sense, in Hashem's eyes, we're more interesting to him. In that. Now, this can get dangerous because a lot of people then say, people, especially Hasidim, we're so bottled to the Eibishter, so we want to give the Eibishter the Tainug. So once I'm already going to live in illumination, then, so why do I want to even go there? Why not stay in this Golos forever okay. So we can give the Eibishter the Tainug forever? The Eibishter wants to play with us, but he wants to reveal himself to us at the end just as much as he wants to play during the darkness.
Right. I mean, I see that with my
it's
own
like
children.
There's a peekaboo game.
Right.
There is an enjoyment into this, and there is also in the enjoyment into this. And
right.
If you always will forever stay with that, and you don't get to the laughter that comes afterwards, it defeats the purpose. So that's a goal. And that's ultimately goal, but that's only because you played with him in the darkness.
Right.
And we have to play with him in the darkness. We have to play with all of him.
Mm-hmm.
So
we have to try to figure out all the...
Not, he gave it to us.
He's giving it to us,
even though we have no clue what we're learning in truth. We have no clue what we're learning in truth. It's like the first time I learned Chassidus. When I was sitting in Kfar Chabad, and I came from Slobodka for a Shabbos, and I heard the Rebbe's Maimer for the first time. I told you the story many times. I like raptured. I was like, I felt such a, like in me, like I was gonna scream like a crazy person. Like, this is crazy. I can't wait for Mashiach to be here and me learning all the Hasidus that I learned now, every Maimer, and say, in other words, because we so don't get it, even we think we get it.
Right.
This is like Nefloy's Shabbat Torah, especially the Torah Shel Mashiach already that we have. Chassidus is already the beginning of that. The Rebbe says in the Sicha something very interesting, that we have to acclimate ourselves to be able to receive Mashiach. In the Sicha, the Rebbe says that Mashiach Tzidkenu himself has these three Alephs inside of him. So we need to open ourselves up. It's almost like Mashiach and us have to go like a glove. So we need to, within ourselves, open up our small little tiny Alephs so we can meet his big super mega Aleph, and we can join together. So he says one of the ways of learning that is to learning, and v'hoya necha royas esmeirecha, looking at the teacher. The Rebbe is basically suggesting that looking at the Rebbe's face is preparing our eyes to behold this godliness, even though we don't even know what we're looking at. We really don't know what we're looking at. We're looking with such fleishigoygen as what we're looking at. And the Rebbe says that, and he brings a story. The Gemara says that one sage said, "This that I am more than everyone else in my learning is because I saw a Remeir, but I only saw him from the back. Had I seen him from the front, I forget about it."
Right.
So it's just. Great thing.
And that's what the learning is. The learning is the kind of, I guess going back to that, that muscle that I gave before, you know, becoming a mother, you find out you're pregnant and you buy the book, What to Expect When You're Expecting. And you read it and you think you know. You think, oh, I'm going to go in. I have my birth plan. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I had that with my daughter. We had like a whole plan of, you know.
You're on purpose bringing an example that I'm relating to very well.
I know. I'm sorry.
Okay.
But you have this whole, you know, ideas and you, because you want to prepare yourself, but nothing prepares you for it. No matter how much you read, but you need to learn it in order to say that you want to, not in order to say, in order to become, in order to be, if you want to, you know, start this motherhood journey on the right foot and you want to do the proper thing, you have to learn it. But once you're there, it's a totally new experience. No matter how many books you read, it's a totally new experience. But you're still not upset that you read the books. You needed those nuggets and those tips and those tricks and those little, you know, insights.
And going back and reading and going back and reading it later says, ah, so now I understand it.
Now I understand.
That's why Chassidus says, we're going to say, ah. That's what Chassidus says. We're going to say, ah, that's what it is.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Which is the Pella? Could we touch on that a minute?
The Pella. The Pella is the mind-blowing wonders. I'm going back because I was dealing quite a bit now with, because of this. I mentioned the article to you last week, and I explored it a little more, and we were talking a little bit more about quantum physics and quantum things. It's like a certain dimension of existence that doesn't operate at all within the laws of physics as we know it. So in a sense, it's like we are, what the Rebbe is talking about, that it's being this gala in the world, in Yanim. It's almost like we're going into forbidden places beyond the ordinary constrictions of time and space, and we're finding out things that are utterly defy time and space, and yet we find it embedded that's the, on the subatomic dimension. That's where that's we're, the fact that it's there, okay, that Hashem hid it there, but the fact that we're seeing it. It's opening up for us is not just, in other words, when they discover that matter is energy, that's like discovering the Dvar Hashem that's in the world. Right. That's like discovering Shem Elokim. That's Elokim. But when they're discovering now that things can be both a particle and a wave, and it could be opposites, and could be here and there at the same time, and it can be in every, until you don't observe it, and when you observe it, you're locking. I don't understand what I'm talking about, but it's okay.
Right.
But these are the words that I'm reading, and I'm saying, hey, what? This is crazy. This is Gilu Shem Havaya. This is not Elohim. This is already. So what does that mean? That's higher than the Malchus. It's higher than the godliness of Mamala Kalalman. It's Saviv Kalalman. It's uh-huh. Dimensions, and we're seeing it in a lab, which means it's starting. That's what the Rebbe is saying. We're living in Yemaisa Mashiach today.
Right.
Our eyes.
I think on a practical level, I mean, what's coming up for me is that, you know, I think that all these years that we've been in Golus, when we were trained to look at the world and see Hashem, and we were trained to, when we were going through hard times or we needed something or we were davening for a bracha, for health, for parnassah, for whatever, we always felt like we needed to make a keli, and Hashem's going to give us the brachas within like the framework of the world. And now I feel like we kind of, now that we're entering this stage, I don't know if the right word is permission or the right word is, we kind of have permission to like say, you know, show us these wonders that are just not even within the framework of the world. Like we could download this abundance and these blessings and the miracles like we're seeing in Eretz Yisrael without, you know, the Iron Dome, or without the, I'm not saying we don't have to do Harishtadlis, but I think that there's this energy of, it doesn't need to be through the Derech HaTeva. I could
Rebbe
access
said, the Rebbe
it
says in the Sichas that today's days, not only are you allowed to rely on, it used to say that Ein Seimchen Al Anes. The Rebbe says today's days you can be Seimchen Al Nisim. And that's exactly this, because when we're operating, when we're in the frequency that's beyond, when we're tapping that frequency, then you're above nature. Mm-hmm.
And it's all because of the work that we did, and it's all because of seeing it and revealing it and seeing the Aleph and learning that and bringing it into our lives.
Yeah. Really. The challenge, which is difficult, is to do that and not be, and it's a huge avoda. It's a huge avoda of allowing yourself to let go of the old norms and to allow yourself into this mysterious place of super big things that you had no shaychus to before in your constricted reality.
Yeah, because it's scary. Because we like to operate within what we understand,
what we're familiar with.
This is really, yeah. You know, just kind of floating. Mm-hmm. Wow, very powerful. Okay.
Yep. Okay. Good.
Beautiful. So, Amir Tashem, next week we'll continue.
Looking forward to
continuing this journey. It's really very, very powerful stuff. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, everyone. Let's
see Mashiach
now. Take care.